Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Acts 12, verse 5. You know the story. The new church was growing, and yet they had some challenges. Verse 5 reads, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him."
I firmly believe God is in charge, and that's right where we want him. So we stay surrendered to him and willing for his spirit to work. He can do mighty things. So we don't ever want to hang our head or worry, for God is in charge of every tomorrow. Let's bow our heads before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow before you with grateful hearts that, yes, you are in charge. The church is your bride, Lord, your people. And we know that all things can work together for good for them that love the Lord. And Father, we love you. That's why we're here today. And so I ask that as I speak, that you will take the words and thoughts and Lord, empower them with your spirit. And whatever it may be that we can all learn and grow from today, we ask to be blessed of you. So Father, we thank you for being there and for loving us. In thy holy name, amen. Well, I would be remiss without saying, Happy Sabbath! Yes, it is a happy Sabbath. Love to see the smiles. Yes. One evening, little six-year-old Bobby asked his father for a puppy. Anybody been there? Yes. "Sorry, Bobby," his dad said to him. He said, "Not now. But if you pray really hard, for the next 2 months, perhaps God will bring you a baby brother." So little Bobby thought, that's interesting. So he prayed really hard. Weeks went by. A month went by. And nothing happened. So he quit. He quit praying. But he was really surprised when a month later, lo and behold, a baby boy appeared. And he went into the room where he saw his parents, and there was a little baby brother laying in his mother's arms. And then his daddy pulled back the covers a little and exposed another baby boy. "Twins!" His daddy said, "Aren't you glad you prayed for a little baby brother?" Little Bobby said, "I sure am. But aren't you glad I stopped when I did?" Oh, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, we see what in the book of Acts is a fairly common sight, actually. It's the church at prayer. Not a few disciples, but actually there's a whole community here of believers coming together, praying together. Because we know that in the rest of the Gospels, and we talked about it last time I was here, that most of the time we see Jesus praying alone, right? And remember, we looked at the impact and the power that comes through your own personal prayer time alone with God. But there's also an important dynamic that happens when God's people come together and pray. It wasn't just a few of them. It was a whole group. They had come to understand, due to circumstances, a real need for prayer, because when they prayed, God acts. Never forget that. How does God do his work and manifest his power? When his believers gather and pray. Reminds me, there was a true story of a fellow who went to a seminary mission class, a fellow by the name of Herbert Jackson. He mentioned that as a new missionary, he was assigned to a car that wouldn't start without a push. For those of you younger, you may not know, but there was a day when you could push a car and start it with a clutch. With automatics now, you can't do that. But yeah, with a clutch. And he went to the school near his home, and he got permission to get some of the kids to come out and help push his car to get it started. And he did this for 2 years. It was either he had somebody around to push him, or he would park on a hill so he could coast down Been there, done that, huh? Down a hill to get her started. Or he would just leave it running for 2 years. But eventually some bad health and some situations came along. He had to leave the mission field and go home, and a new missionary was coming in to take over. And Jackson proudly began to explain the process of how to keep this car going and get it started. When the new man pulled the lever and popped the hood, and he's still telling him about how, you know, you got to get it on the hill and you get the right amount. And the guy's looking down there, and there's Nathan. He goes, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only problem you got is this loose cable." And he took the battery cable and wiggled it down on there good and tight, jumped in, started right up. He was astonished. For 2 years, he had gone through this needless trouble when all he had was a loose connection. Power was there all along. The connection was loose. Relying upon human strength is tiring and difficult. Have you noticed? Yeah. You can still get by for a few years. You can get a few things done. But when we make a firm decision to make sure we have a firm connection with God, friends, power flows. Things happen. We tap into His power through the wonderful, blessed gift He's given us of prayer. And what we see here in Acts 12, we see the power of prayer. We probably are familiar with the story. But if you're not, Peter, we find, had been placed in the custody of 16 soldiers. One guy. They weren't taking chances, were they? There were four squads of four men each. Four guards took shifts of guarding him. Because, you know, they'd figured out the guards need to be more alert than the prisoner. So you always get fresh guards coming in. He was bound, literally, by chains to two of the soldiers. He was not going to get away. The double guard on him round the clock was to make doubly sure he could not escape. And then here in Acts 12, verse 10, it says that there were first and second guards, and then there was even an iron gate. So he was enclosed back in. I mean, there is no work of man, though, they were about to discover, that can stop the power of God. None at all. Man's attempts, even the devil's attempts, are all futile against the will of God. Romans 8:38 reminds us, you know it by heart, if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to claim that promise. We need to live by it. We need to boldly carry the word of God in our hearts and our lives. And that impact will be for His kingdom. And so, we find Peter utterly bound, but the church gathered to pray. The situation was critical. If you back up a little bit, you find that King Herod had already killed one of the church leaders, Brother James. Verse 3 says, when he saw that this pleased the Jews, they were happy to get rid of James. He proceeded to seize Peter also. Sounds like a politician. They like what I'm doing, I'll do more of it. Herod wanted to keep the Jews happy, so Peter was next. They grabbed him. So if you will, just for a moment, imagine two of the church's foremost leaders. One's already dead, and the other's likely to be killed soon. The church was at a critical moment here. They had a window of opportunity because there was still a little bit of time, because this happened during the time of the Passover. Herod decided to deal with Peter after the Passover. Remember, he was trying to please the Jews, so to mess with Passover would have been a wrong move. So they had a wee bit of time here because this feast lasted about a week. We don't know the amount of time left, 7 days or something less than that, for Peter. But this was their only chance they had to pray for God's deliverance. And friends, we don't always have a chance to pray. You see, in the case of James, there was little or no time for prayer. They grabbed him. He was gone. But for us, we today enjoy the benefit of time. And we do need to be a people of prayer and connected with God. He will take care of all these problems before us. He knows the answers before we understand the problem. And God is still in charge. Be of good cheer. You know, I read where one author, I kind of liked what they said here, because I've started to do it myself. She said, I found that waiting is a great time to pray. Lots of people say they don't like to wait for anything. She said, my suggestion is not to just wait, to waste time, but spend that time beneficially by praying. Give it a try. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You might think you have little time for prayer, but if you use your waiting time, you will find you'll always have time for prayer. Just something to think about as you're standing in line at the grocery store or in traffic. Wherever you might be, God is always there, amen? And he wants to hear from you. You can just have a conversation with him. Don't worry about people in the car next to you seeing you sitting there talking. They'll just think you're praying or singing or something. And we say here back in Acts 12 how God responded to the prayer, and it is really remarkable. Because verse 6 tells us that it was the night before Herod was to bring him to trial. Kind of interesting, isn't it? God sent his angel to deliver his servant on the last night before the trial and execution. God moved when it seemed humanly impossible to free Peter, and he did it at the 11th hour. And he did it in a miraculous way. Isn't our God great? We can all be rest assured today, still, because our God can deal with all our problems in ways beyond our comprehension. We don't know what this cutback is going to impact us. We don't know. We know there will be impacts. We know there will be seismic shifts. We know there will be changes. But God doesn't change. He is still in charge. And he will lead his people through. So be of good cheer. God can use ordinary means, and he can use extraordinary means, can't he? We cannot limit how God acts, for our God is limitless. You cannot put him in a limit, and he will surprise us very often. But have you ever wondered when you read this story, why did God wait so long? Why didn't God just deliver him earlier? Why can't God release Peter on the first night? Not the last night. It would have saved a lot of praying and a lot of time, a lot of anguish. Because I know the church has been praying, they say, at least 6 days in anguish. Friends, the waiting time stretches our faith. It stretches us. It exercises our faith. It reminds us of our need for a closer living relationship with God. We learn to persevere. We learn to trust in him. And we desperately need that reminder and that strengthening. Because it wasn't because God didn't have a plan. It wasn't because God was trying to figure out what to do. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that we, the church, God's people, desperately need that exercise of our faith. Because, you know, God acted on the 11th hour also when the Israelites left Egypt. Thought about that? You know, our conference leader touched on that a bit because in the video. Because the people of Israel took a difficult journey out of Egypt, but yet, hey, they were victorious, you know. Remember how God got the Egyptians to load them up with all their jewelry and their gold and their everything? They left rich when they left Egypt. Woohoo! We're out of here. And they're going, and God's leading them to a dead end. Suddenly, they find themselves at the Red Sea. Oh, what are we going to do now? Critical moment. God said to Moses, basically, why are you crying out to me? It's in Exodus 14. Tell the Israelites to move on. Come on, move on. He says, raise your staff, stretch your hand out over the sea, and divide the waters. My people will cross on dry land. It wasn't a dead end. God had a plan all along. To us, it seemed a dead end. But never forget, he knows what he will do. Isn't it good that God informs us early on that there was a Red Sea event? He's already shown us that he has a way to deal with any problem we have if we just connect with him. God did it at the 11th hour for Abraham. Remember? He asked him to do this very strange thing, to act like all the heathens around him. They were doing human sacrifices. And here God tells Abraham to take the son of promise, Isaac, and to sacrifice him. No, that speaks volumes about Abraham's walk with God. To know it was God speaking. He didn't understand it, but he knew. And Abraham took the wood, They walked for 3 days. He built an altar. He arranged the wood on it and explained to his son, who willingly let him, the old man, bind him up, crawled up and laid him on the altar. I'm sure Abraham's hand was trembling as he took the knife, not understanding, but trusting God. And he raised the knife, and I think he might even start it down when the angel said, "Stop!" Because God had already prepared a ram. Abraham called the place, "God will provide," or "God will see." He sees things we don't. He knows the future from today, from the past. But what if God had informed him, Abraham, early on, that go up and do this, but you know there's going to be a ram? If he told him ahead of time, it would have defeated the purpose, right? It would have taken away the test, because faith needs to be stretched. God sometimes puts us in situations where our faith is kind of weak, and he's given us opportunities through our trials and our troubles to allow him to work in us, to stretch and exercise that faith. And he's asking, do you really trust me? Would you allow him to have it his way, in his time, all the time? Friends, that's where we need to be. In persevering and waiting and praying and pleading, we grow stronger. Our faith in him is deepened. Our reliance on self is pressed down. Take up our cross daily. Surrender everything. Give it to God and go forward in faith in the God who is limitless. Now back to Peter here for a minute. The church was praying for Peter's deliverance. They were praying that God would do something. And when God really did something, they weren't expecting it. I find a little humor in that part of the story. It's amazing. Because if you remember, when Rhoda, remember the young gal, this is in Acts 12, 13 to 16. When Rhoda, it was the girl who came, heard the knock, and she went out to open the gate. It was out the outside, and where Peter was knocking, she looked at him. She got so excited, she didn't even open the gate. She turned around and ran back in to tell the group that Peter was free and he's outside the gate. And what did they tell him? "Thou art mad, woman. You're crazy." But she persisted. And then they said, "Oh, it must be his angel." That was interesting. They would think it was his angel, but not Peter. But Peter continued knocking, and they finally went out and let him in. Looks odd, but isn't that the way we are sometimes? We pray, but if we're honest, sometimes it's only half believing it will ever come true. Sometimes you feel like it would just be too ideal if things really happened the way we pray for it. Oh, friends, this is especially true when Satan holds up some past failures. If you think about it, the church had just seen James, faithful James, they loved James, killed. This might dampen their faith in God if they focus on the negatives around them. You see, what you choose to focus on will sway your entire view of life and everything that's going on in it. If James couldn't be rescued, I mean, what's the hope for Peter? Man thinks this way. It's our carnal nature. It's in our sinful heart. But we are called as God's people to put our faith in God no matter what. We need to have faith in God when we pray and expect God to act. There's nothing he can't do. We need to be surrendered into however he chooses to answer it. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's, "Hey, I got something better." Just be patient. We do not know how God will act each time. We may not be able to see around the next corner. We may think all is lost. But we know God can be trusted. Here our God delivered Peter with a miracle. And it was a pretty quiet one, actually. It was in the night. No fuss, no muss. No one even woke up, not even disturbed. It all happened in one night, till the next morning. I think it's interesting, too, as you read the story, that you find the angel had to wake Peter up. I don't know if he kicked him or nudged him or what he did. In verse 7 of Acts 12, it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and then a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off him. I think sometimes we run by that and think, wow, an angel comes, wake up. But that to me speaks volumes about Peter. His faith in God, his trust in him was so complete, he was so sound asleep, an angel had to wake him up with a nudge. He was chained up. He knew about James, most likely, and he was willing. He thought, in fact, Sister White mentions, he thought that his end was come. And yet here he is, so sound asleep. Angel has to smite him to wake him up. Faith in God. When Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail, remember that? God sent an earthquake. An earthquake. He shook the whole place, brought the place down practically. All the gates swung open, all the chains fell off, unshackled all the prisoners. That was a loud and a noisy one. Friends, don't limit God. Don't limit him mentally. Don't limit him in the way he acts or what you expect of him. He is far greater than we can imagine. And he loves you more than you can even possibly know. Acts 12, verse 24. Through all of this problem, and Herod blasphemed against God, basically, and he dropped dead. Verse 23, the angel, the Lord, smote him because he gave not God the glory. But verse 24, I want to focus on, says, but the word of God grew and multiplied through that trouble. Friends, the persecution of Herod did not stop the church from growing. That's no small thing. And by the way, church organization will not stop the church from growing. In fact, friends, you cannot stop the church from growing. Did you think of that? Luke 19:40 says, he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these would hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So the question comes to me, do I want to be replaced by a boulder? I don't. How about you? Because allowing God to work through you can do wonders for church growth, for kingdom growth. And it's by God living within you and your life changing so that everywhere you go, not just on Sabbath in church, but everywhere you go, you are a Christian that walks and knows Jesus Christ. And he's changed your heart and your life. And everywhere you go as a witness, because you're going to look a little different because you've walked with Jesus. And people will know. It's a change in you. Here in Acts, we see today that even being locked up in prison didn't stop the preaching of the gospel. Down through the centuries, we see time and time and time and time again, no efforts of man and no efforts of Satan can stop God's church from growing. The church continued to grow because God was her protector. But you, my friends, allowing God to work in you and through you will do wonders for church growth. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in all you can do. No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's a promise. As we go into some days of unknowing, we go into days of change, makes us all unsettled. But friend, let's take heart in knowing that when we acknowledge him, he will direct all your paths personally and all the paths of his church. A worried woman sprang to the telephone when it rang, and she picked it up and listened with relief to the kindly voice in her ear. She heard, "How are you, darling? What kind of day are you having?" She goes, "Oh, mother," fighting to hold tears back. "I've had such a bad day. The baby won't eat. The washing machine broke down. The baby's crying all the time. I haven't had a chance to go shopping. Besides, I tripped on a dog toy and I sprained my ankle. And I have to hobble around. On top of that," she says, "the house is a mess. And I'm supposed to have two couples over for dinner tonight." Mother was shocked and sympathetic. And she says, "Oh, darling, sit down. Relax. Close your eyes. I'll be over within the half hour. I'll do all your shopping. I'll clean up your house. I'll even cook your dinner for you. I'll feed the baby. I'll call a repairman that I know who can come to your house and fix that washing machine promptly. I can take care of it all. Now stop crying. Stop crying. I'll do everything. In fact, I'll even call George at the office and tell him he ought to come home and help out for once. George, said the housewife, who's George? Why, George, your husband. Is this 555-1374? No, this is 555-1375. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I have a wrong number. There was a short pause, and the housewife said, does this mean you're not coming over? There are times in life we need help. We need help. We're overwhelmed. We've got troubles. We can't see around the corner. We don't know what God's going to do. Why is this happening to me? At a minimum, we need people who will sympathize with us. People who will exhibit compassion. A church family. Lifting one another up. A church praying together. Releasing the power of God on His people. Because friends, God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Even martyrdom for Jesus Christ does not take the eternal life away from the Christian. Herod killed James. That didn't keep him from eternal life. And although Peter was spared at this time, he too, we know, later died a martyr's death and sleeps in the grave, as we all do, until Jesus comes for His people. But when you truly belong to Jesus Christ, when you've captured that you need self out of your life, you need to evict Satan and ask God to come in and clean our hearts and our minds and our lives and help us to walk in His way, you are promised eternal life. Praise God. So the question is, do you really have Him today? Come to Him fresh again today. Make Him your own personal Savior and Lord. Ask Him to take complete control of your life right now. And seize hold of Him and pray unceasingly. I don't know if God's going to throw an earthquake into your life or if He's going to change circumstances quietly, but our God can do anything. There's no struggle you have. There's no disease you have. There is no habit you have. There's no secret sin. There is no thoughts. There's no habit. Whatever it is, God can handle it. We must never let go of that. Pray for yourself. Pray for those you love. Pray for those who despise you. Pray for those who cut you off in traffic. Pray for those you don't agree with. And pray God will use you in whatever way He wants. And marvelous things will happen because our God is limitless. One last text. Probably know by heart too. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It starts with the biggest little word you'll ever see. IF. If. You've got free choice, right? But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. What a beautiful promise. What a big challenge. That little word, if. If. What will you do with it? That's your choice. I encourage you to never forget, may I say it again, that God is limitless. Sometimes the reason we don't have big successes in our lives is because we don't allow Him to do it. We don't dream big enough dreams. We don't go big enough challenges. We hang on to our treasured little whatevers and don't release them. And we're just holding God back. Release Him. He can do anything. But praise God that we have that gift of prayer. That God in heaven hears your heart, hears every contrite prayer that you pray. And oh, how true, our closing song, that we need the prayers of those around us. There's a power in the church of prayer. There's a power in praying for one another. And we need the prayers of those who love. Let us stand. Number 505. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a gift it is, this gift you've given us of prayer, this mysterious and wondrous thing that in our hearts we even just need to think and pray. But Lord, we can come together and verbalize our needs and hold one another up and give one another courage. We know time and time again we see where when God's people come together and pray as the body of Christ, that you often do miraculous things. And Lord, may we all enrich our prayer life. Touch our hearts and our minds and our very souls and help us to continue to grow in that connection, for through that comes a victory, because that unleashes the power of our God, and our God is unlimited. So Lord, be with your people. Carry us forward through all the troubles ahead, whatever they may be. And Lord, we pray for our church, that you would touch and guide each and every one, that you may be glorified. So, Father, revive us, we ask, in thy holy name. Amen.